Good evening, and welcome to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We've got a lot to talk about this evening as we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Along with Matt Gorder, I am John Coffey. And, Matt, another busy weekend coming up on the Northwest campus and off the campus with sports coming up. But let's go back to last weekend, a homecoming weekend, and what a weekend it was. Great weather. The parade was great, and everything was capped off by an excellent football game with Northwest with a big win over Pittsburgh State.
Yeah, the third biggest crowd in Bearcat Stadium history, over 10,000 people in attendance at that game. A fun game to see, and the fact that you go up against a rival like that, and Northwest just dominated in all facets of the game. I don't think many people expected as big of a gap in the final score of that game. You know, they also got some national attention. That great play there at the end of the first half that garnered the top spot on SportsCenter's top plays, and, you know, you can't beat that. All in all, about as good a weekend as you can have.
That play just the way they had it drawn up, I believe.
Yeah, exactly right. To where they had 1 second left, and it's funny because there were some people upset that their clock didn't run out. It should be halftime by now. Oh, well, a couple minutes later, it's, well, I guess one more play wasn't that big a deal. So it's funny sometimes how your thoughts change based upon what happens on the field.
I think the downside of that play comes with Simon Mathiesen because of the whole celebration yeah. after that play. But you can't blame the team for celebrating after such a heck of a return off that interception. But Simon has to line up, hit the point after kick, essentially a 35-yard field goal from there, and that's his first miss of a PAT all season.
Yeah, that was kind of a bummer, you know, and I'm sure, yeah, some of it was celebrating, but some of it was also, you know, I'm sure some of the guys thought, well, it's halftime, there's no time on the clock, not thinking, well, the extra point still has to be attempted, you know, so, yeah, a little bit of a bummer there, but I'm sure Simon was all around excited despite the miss.
And as we look at volleyball, a little bit of a tough weekend for them on the road, but they get back home, and they've got a big one coming up on Friday with Nebraska Kearney coming to town.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the top team in the MIAA. They were ranked third in the nation this week in the volleyball coaches poll. So it's definitely going to be a great test. It's a great thing that's a Bearcat Arena. I mean, Bearcat Arena has been a tremendous place to play for volleyball. The atmosphere has been awesome all season long, and you know they're going to need every bit of that tomorrow. That's why you want home court advantage, is to have an opportunity to have your home fans there, energetic, excited, hopefully causing some problems for the other team by being noisy and that sort of thing, and cheering for your team. And if the Cats can get that tomorrow night, you never know what we could see. It'd be great to see a huge upset there.
And while Northwest in football heads to East Kansas for a matchup with Fort Hays State, the Fort Hays State volleyball team's heading this direction, and they got a match at Bearcat Arena on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you look at the last five matches for Northwest, including that one, they are all at home, but they're all very important in terms of trying to get into the top half of the MIAA tournament and get an opportunity to potentially host a match in the MIAA tournament. So these last five, yeah, it's great they're all at home, but there's some tough opponents and there's some important opponents in terms of needing to win to try to be in the top half of the conference standings.
As I look at basketball, that gets underway. We had an exhibition last night for the Northwest women with Graceland, but then tonight, kind of the official unveiling of both teams with the Bearcat Basketball Bash over at Bearcat Arena. Things get underway at 8 o'clock there. It's become a tradition to go out and see the teams as they're unveiled in front of the fans over at Bearcat Arena.
Yeah, they'll do some autographs and a chance to kind of meet and greet with the teams there from 8 to 8:30, and then at 8:30, get a chance to introduce the teams, and you'll get to hear who they are and that sort of thing. Now, of course, with the men's team, if you followed them at all, there's not going to be a whole lot of newness. And, of course, really looking at the women's roster, it's about the same. But, you know, just seeing the women last night in that exhibition, they're playing at a different confidence level, it seems like, already, you know, just at the start of this season, which is very encouraging. You know, the men's team's going to be confident with what they have accomplished and what they've got coming back as well. So, yeah, at 8:30, they'll get the teams introduced. They'll have some competitions, some friendly competitions, things like that, that are always entertaining. So it should be a good time at Bearcat Arena.
I have a chance to see what kind of dance moves the two teams have.
Well, that could be good or bad. I don't know. We'll find out later this evening.
All right, that's true. And when you look at the Bearcat basketball team, another ranking came out, the NABC ranking, having them in the top 10. So a lot is expected out of this men's team coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that goes beyond the team. I think the team's got very high expectations of themselves, which is great. And they should. They've been working hard in the off season. A lot of time spent in the gym shooting, in the weight room, trying to make sure they're in shape for this year. And when you only have one player lost from a year ago in a team that was as successful as they were, and then you've got some additions coming in with, like, some red shirts and things like that, it should improve. You should have those high expectations. But these guys still have to go out and perform, and they want to make sure that they're ready for that.
I think one of the things when you look at their non-conference schedule, they've got a very competitive schedule. You've got the defending national champion, which will be at Bearcat Arena here in a couple weeks with Augustana. They go head out to Denver. Metro State's traditionally a pretty tough team, so they're not shying away from the competition early on.
No, and I think that's something that they have done in the past, and I think that's benefited them. You know, last year we saw an early loss in the season, but I think it made the team better. And as the season went on, you know, maybe you look back and you say, well, there's a couple of losses against tough teams that maybe kept them from hosting the region, you know, but they got to play in the region and they played well in the regional tournament because of the experience that they gained in those games, even though they were losses. So I think you got to play against tough competition so that you're ready for the MIAA, which is always going to be a challenge. It's a grind of a schedule in the conference, so you got to be as ready as you can be, and facing top competition in the non-conference is one way to do that.
And as far as football goes, on the road this weekend, we talked a little bit about that Fort Hays State opponent, and they're a team that's much improved. And we're just seeing that team make some gradual improvements year after year to where they've won some pretty big games this year.
Yeah, I mean, the coaching staff that they've got over there has done a tremendous job. And, you know, when they started, they knew they were going to be building. They kind of saw it as a step process like we have seen come to play. And so this is kind of what they have expected, and they're starting to reap some of the rewards of that hard work. And you know, you look at last week and how well Northwest was able to throw the ball. It's going to be much tougher this week because you got a much better pass defense out of Fort Hays State and just different things like that. You got a very physical team, a very big team. That's a tough place to go out and play. You know, it really is. It's a kind of a different atmosphere there. Not that it's a bad atmosphere, but for opponents going in, it's a tough place to play. But it's a fun environment for football, and it should be a lot of fun Saturday afternoon.
I think one of the fun matchups to watch out of that, the play of the Bearcat offensive line against that defense of Fort Hays State. Fort Hays has been getting a lot of pressure on quarterbacks. I think tops in the conference as far as quarterback sacks, and the Bearcats, they've only allowed 4 sacks all season, so that's going to be an interesting matchup in the game within the game there.
Yeah, and one of the things that you have to watch out for with Hays is they've got those statistics and they really don't blitz very much. They don't bring a ton of guys like some teams do to try to get to the quarterback. But when they do blitz, they time it well, and it's a well-drawn-up blitz. So that offensive line is going to have to stay on their toes because you don't know when that blitz is coming. There's going to be a few tendencies here and there, but it's hard to pick up on those when they don't blitz very often. So the key will be picking those blitzes up. That's when they're going to get their sacks, is when they catch you off guard in a situation like that. So, yeah, that is going to be a fun matchup to watch.
Again, we've got a good show on hand for this evening, as we'll be talking volleyball and football. With us will be the Northwest head volleyball coach, and Amy Worth. We'll also talk with Northwest middle hitter Jackie Becker, along with Northwest linebacker Jacob Volstead and wide receiver George Seal. And we'll be joined a little bit later on by the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Durrell, as they'll be all on the show here for us this evening. Reminder, too, that support for the KXCV KR&W Bearcat Coaches Show comes from the Student Body. Screen Printing and Embroidery, now located near the Northwest Campus at the corner 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Student Body provides Bearcat fanwear, custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. And support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. It's open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. We're back to have more on the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show right after this timeout from Carson's in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Nottoway Valley Bank. With 8 locations, NVB has been serving generations of Northwest Missouri families for almost a century and a half. The right bank is right at your fingertips at NVB.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Oak Point Assisted Living and Memory Care in Maryville. Oak Point offers private apartments and other services for seniors. More at 660-562-2799 or at oakpointmaryville.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Chad Peterson, Jesse, Maggie Wilson, and Chad Townsend offer a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 582-8800.
Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Northwest Audiovisual, providing residential, commercial, and auto customers with sales, design, service, and installation of home theater and car audio systems. More at 660-853-2319.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24 hours claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nelson of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KR&W Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville right now, talking football. We've got a couple of players from the Bearcat football team with us, and Jacob Volstadt, linebacker for the Bearcats, and also wide receiver George Seal. And guys, thanks a lot for being on the program here.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
And first of all, let's just talk a little bit about last week and the big win over Pittsburgh State. A couple of different outlooks on this one with offense and defense here. But first of all, Jacob, from your standpoint, shutting down a very good offense in the Gorillas that's been putting a lot of points on the board. But really held them to just one touchdown. They added a field goal on, as well. But what about that game, and what were some things you guys were able to do to slow down Pittsburgh State?
We really worked on us last week. There, we had a bunch of weaknesses we addressed. We played a really good quarterback, probably the best we've faced all year. So shutting him down was a really big goal of ours and something we take a lot of pride in. And we did a really great job top to bottom, getting pressure on level one, trying to disrupt level two, and making plays on level three. So it was a great week for us.
It really seems like one of the keys was putting a lot of pressure on their quarterback. Now, again, there are times he didn't get the sack, but still were able to either make him hurry, or he suffered afterwards on some passes where he took a hit just as he was getting rid of the ball. What are some of the keys to getting pressure on a quarterback such as that?
I mean, we have such a good D-line that if we can move around on level two and level three and create confusion with his reads, that our D-line is going to get home about every time.
And how much, from your standpoint as a linebacker, is having that good defensive line in front of you do to help out what you want to accomplish out there?
I mean, those guys really cater to what I do. They let me fly around. I mean, I can't give all the props to the D-line and Coach Wright for having a great game plan every week. But the D-line really frees me up and lets everyone else play what they do.
All right, and George Seal with us as well, wide receiver. And George, looking at that game, a lot of points on the board against a Pittsburgh State team that has given up some points this season. But what were some of the things you guys wanted to accomplish, and did you anticipate getting over 60 points in that game?
Yeah, everything was clicking, and everyone was just doing their job, focusing on their 111, doing what they've been coached to do. And, you know, Kyle had a good game. There was, I think, probably 10 of us that caught a pass. We ran the ball really well and effectively, and we were able to put a lot of points on the board.
Hey, you talked about the number of different receivers that caught passes in that game. That seemed like that's something game to game to game, where you guys have a lot of guys that are come up with big catches, and really no one has great numbers because of that, but it's something that really doesn't seem to matter to you guys, because you know that somebody's going to be open on a lot of the different plays.
Right. Yeah, we're a very unselfish group, and that's part of the reason why I think our offense is successful. You know, we spread it around a lot.
And what really comes out, too, watching you guys, is it seems like all of it, you have a little bit of a different skill set that makes each receiver really gives the defense something different to look at. Talk a little bit about that and how that helps out.
I mean, we got some slot guys that are, running streaks down the field. They're fast. Then we got some other receivers who are you know, a little bigger, a little more possession guys.
And that looks, one of the things that strikes me watching you play, too, is just seems like if the ball's near you, you've got the hands that you're able to come up with some pretty good catches.
Yeah, I'm fortunate. I'm, you know, 6'3", got a long wingspan, got long arms. I'm able to box guys out here and there.
And a different quarterback this year in Kyle Zimmerman. Of course, Kyle's taken some snaps through his career, but he's the number one guy this year. He's yet to throw an interception. And one of the things that strikes me in watching it, it seems like he's able to put the ball where either you're going to catch it or nobody's going to be able to get to it. How much of a does that help for you guys?
It gives us all confidence, you know. When you got a quarterback who can do that, who can scramble, who can make plays like that, it makes it easier on everyone.
All right. And, again, Jacob Volstad with us as well, linebacker for the Bearcats. And, Jacob, when you looked at this season coming in, obviously a lot of guys coming back and really some high expectations were expected, especially on the defensive side. You guys have lived up to that. What have been some of the keys to the success that you've had on the defense so far?
We really tried to put last year behind us and create a new identity for ourselves on defense. We can't rely on what happened last year, and we're doing a really good job of that. We come out and practice. We try to have fun, make plays, just fly around, have defense, just like we do on Saturdays. So we're trying to keep that, imitate that on game days. Because, I mean, if you can do it in practice, it's going to be that much easier on games. So we're doing that. Each level has a standard of what we want to accomplish every week, and we're really good at eliminating what opponents are really good at, their strengths. We're really good at taking away their strengths and at least trying to make them one-dimensional.
One of the things, too, that stands out watching you guys is, and traditionally you guys do a good job leading up to the game with studying game film and things where there's not a lot that the opponents are going to do that surprise you, but if they do come out with a different tactic, it seems like you're able to make adjustments on the run. You don't have to wait to halftime to come up with an adjustment. What goes into being able to make adjustments on the fly like that?
Level 1, 2, and 3, it all comes together. I mean, D-line gets great. They get snap count. They get all that stuff. They're communicating to us on level 2. We're communicating what we're seeing. And the DBs are talking different routes, formations, concepts they're getting. And that allows Coach Wright, BC, and all our, I mean, Coach Boswick and the defensive guys to help us make adjustments. They're going to put us in the right spot every time. So if we come out and see something new in the game, we'll get under a check. We'll make sure we live with it for a snap. We'll get it down. And we'll come back. We'll make the adjustment. We're going to be better for it.
Let's talk about that last play before the end of the first half against Pittsburgh State. I know I've talked to AD a little bit about this, too, but he says it wasn't necessarily a fluke play for you guys. You came to expect going into that, looking through the scenarios, that if you did get an interception, there was some discussion before that of what you were going to do on that play, and just kind of go through the set leading up to that.
I mean, they were trying to take advantage of us on the last half, so we came out, we threw a timeout, I think. Is that right?
Yeah, I think
we
so.
We threw a timeout. A couple of D-backs said, if we get this, we're going all the way. And it just happened that way. Kevin made a great read on the ball. He picked it. I started letting him hit up the sideline, and then just got to our athletes after that. We had a lot of fun doing it.
And Brantley taking it the rest of the way for the touchdown there.
It was awesome. He was flying over the field. You look back on film, he had two big hits on the quarterback. Then he made a great block, got back up, and ran it in. So all to him. That was a great hustle play.
Man, he really showed a little speed once he got the ball there.
Oh, yeah, he did. Don't underestimate him. He's a fast guy. I've never heard Bearcat Stadium that loud, so that was a blast.
What was the atmosphere overall for both of you guys? How much fun was it to play third largest crowd in Bearcat history, and they were in it from the opening kickoff? How much fun was that throughout the day playing in front of a crowd like that?
You know, anytime you can play in front of a crowd like that, it definitely motivates us. It's always fun to play in front of, what was it, 10,000?
Yeah, 10,000. Right.
So, yeah, it gives us a lot of momentum, I think. It helps us a lot.
Hey, and one of the things, too, it seems like it's an educated crowd. They know when to make the noise and when to back off a little bit, so they kind of back off for the offense a little bit so you can hear the snaps. But on the defensive side, it's a whole different story there.
Oh, yeah, we work a lot of hand signals in practice. We practice, obviously, arrowhead. We've been in big situations. We're really good at nonverbal communication. So the louder they get on defense, while we're playing defense, the better for us. It's more fun.
And then on the offensive side, it seems like they know and help you guys out a little bit there, too.
We're able to communicate really well. They do a good job of, you know, paying attention to us, seeing what we're doing. So we're able to get our calls and execute.
One of the things that I've heard Coach Doyle and the rest of the coaching staff talk about it that they really like about this squad is the senior leadership you guys are really doing, and again, both of you seniors in this program. When did you really decide When did it really start as far as getting ready for this season? Was it in spring practice or right after the year last year where you guys knew you were going to be seniors and counted on? When did you guys kind of take leadership over?
Right after last year, you know, we all got back, regrouped in January, and we knew we had to change our mindset, start over, start fresh, and this being our senior year, refocus, get the young guys under our belts, and take off from there.
And again, that's something that's really important on the defensive side for you, too, with the communication factor, just what's expected of some of the young guys, because it seems like it's kind of a tradition that on the defensive side we see a lot of the young guys really rotating in from play to play and getting some valuable experience early in the season even. And just kind of talk about the importance of showing that senior leadership to bring them along.
Oh, it's really good. I mean, part of being a senior and is trying to, like, leave your legacy, trying to make other players around you great. It's not just about you. It's about trying to help others and the team be successful. So anytime we can get young guys in the game, you can get a chance to coach up a young guy. You always got to take advantage. We got a lot of hardworking young guys out there deserve playing time just as much as we do, so it's good to get in them game. Some of them get a little too focused when they get in there, telling the task at hand, get a little too worked up, but overall it's great having them there.
Well, you have two games left in the season, a lot of during the regular season anyway, and a lot of things riding on this game, a chance to get a share of a conference title and to win against a team that's pretty good on the road at home in Fort Hays State. George, from your standpoint, looking at the Fort Hays State defense, what are some of the things that you guys want to try to accomplish on Saturday?
This is their senior day. They are 4-0 at home, so, you know, we got to stay committed to the process. But defensively, they're a blue-collar football team. They play hard. They run to the ball. So we just got to stay focused, be locked in, ready to go, and be able to execute.
And Jacob, on the defensive side, what are some things you guys want to accomplish?
We got to eliminate their big playmakers. They got really good running backs at number 2, 3, and a good wide receiver at number 23. They do a lot of screens, tunnels, quick stuff to get the ball out to their playmakers. I mean, they're very explosive athletes, so that's something we got to be very cognizant of and pay attention to at all times. We're going to try to eliminate the run and make it one-dimensional like every week.
And both of you guys coming in from Iowa City, just talk a little bit about that connection coming to Northwest Missouri State.
Well, me and George have known each other since we were probably 3 or 4. We've got
preschool.
Yeah,
preschool.
Graduated with a group of about 70, and we got two brothers, both the same age, both younger than us. So me and George have been
doing flag football together, riding to tackle football,
soccer, baseball. We've done everything together.
So you kind of decided to come to Northwest together then too.
I came right out of high school, and then
I went to JUCO, went to Iowa Western, and then came here after a year and a half. Joined
you. Kind of nice to get the reunion back.
Oh, yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
And let's talk about academics for both of you. And George, just talk about your field of study and what you hope to do after graduation.
I'm a corporate rec major right now, and I plan on being a firefighter.
All right. And Jacob, I think it's okay academically for you.
I'm also a corporate rec, and I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do, but I've been leaning a lot more towards grad school lately. And getting a master's. So.
All right, well, you got some time on that. And right now, some pretty important football games coming up for both of you guys.
Oh, it's going to be a blast.
All right, guys, thanks a lot for being with us on the show.
Yep, thanks for
having us. Thank
you. All right, we've been talking with George Seal along with Jacob Volstead on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. When we come back, we'll turn our attention to volleyball as the head coach of the Northwest volleyball team, Amy Worth, is with us. And Amy will talk to Matt about the big weekend coming up at home. That's all coming up from the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, again broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Heinlein Home Furnishings at 1411 South Main in Maryville. Supplying living room, dining room, and bedroom furnishings for the home, as well as mattresses and flooring. More information is available at HeinleinHomeFurnishings.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Market Street in Maryville. Celebrating more than 50 years in business, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. More at 660-582-3104.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at youngerauction.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Maryville Glass and Lock. Greg Fisher and his team offer installation and service of overhead doors from Rainer and LiftMaster operators. More at 660-582-3131, in-store at 5th and Buchanan, or at maryvilleglassandlock.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
And we're back at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV KRNW. As John mentioned, we turn our attention to volleyball as Northwest volleyball coach Amy Wirth joins us. And Amy, I know the road trip last weekend over to Kansas, kind of tough with losses to Washburn and Emporia State, but the big thing I know is a coach, you want to see lessons learned out of, say, a trip like that. What do you think would be some of the biggest lessons from last weekend for your team?
I think one of the things we focused on this week is controlling our controllables. And when you get into the middle part of the season, it's about the grind. It's about feeling all these things, and it's staying focused on what we say is our attitude, effort, and enthusiasm, and really putting those things into play. And if we focus on those and do them the best we can, like, that's what we want to be able to do. And so I just feel like that wasn't a focus of ours. It got away from us with really controlling those three areas.
I'm sure the Emporia State loss was maybe a little more disappointing. Obviously, Washburn's a great team, but
yep.
How much of that was just having a tough match against Washburn the night before?
I mean, I think we've done a pretty good job of bouncing back from losses, because every loss we've had, that next match that we've played, we've won. And so I don't think it was that. I think it was the feel of, like I said, that the collectiveness of our team and the feel of being able to bounce back together, not what Washburn did to us or how that loss deflated us per se. It was just us being able to play at our best the next night, and being able to control those three things. But when it really came down to it, we just had too many unforced errors hitting, and it just kind of takes the wind out of your sail, especially in that fifth set.
We had talked all season long because you guys have been playing some great volleyball. You wanted to make sure that the team stayed confident but grounded, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. And now with this last weekend, you're still having a great season.
Sure.
But now does the attention turn to make sure you still stay confident,
yep.
but you're trying to look at it from a little bit different angle?
Yeah, I think that, you know, any roadblock or a little bump in the road, you don't make it a big deal. You find ways to fix some of the things that happened, but stay confident, make them feel confident, do reps and practice that's going to make them feel confident. You know, so much of this part of the season is the mental side. You know, at this point, we've played everyone. It's getting through that second piece of the season, and physically, you know, we're in shape and we're going to be where we need to be. It's trying to keep injuries from happening and overuse injuries, but mentally, where's our focus and how can we stay focused and how is our confidence? How are we rebounding from mistakes so that we can be, you know, our core covenants, which one of them we've done really well throughout the season is being resilient. So that's what we've been focusing a lot on, is that's just that mental side.
How big of an advantage to the mental side is having your last five at home?
Yeah, I think that is a big push for us, and I want us to really embrace that from the standpoint of both Kearney and Fort Hays are, you know, good teams, and I would much rather be playing them at home than away. And so I want our team to really understand the advantage that we have in that area and just play us and play at our best.
Seen some great atmospheres at Bearcat Arena this year. What's the importance to the team for those great atmospheres? How does it help the team when the crowd's into it and right there with every point?
I just think it lifts you up. You know, whenever you aren't playing at your best, I think you always have the crowd behind you to support you. And then knowing if we really put our best effort out there, like, you're going to hear a response from the crowd, and they respect just really working hard, and that's what we really try to do every single day. So I just think you can tell they're enjoying watching us play, and I think it's a fun atmosphere to be able to go out and just continue to show, because a lot of them are parents and people that, you know, that are supporters from the standpoint of who we know, and it's always fun to play your best and to be your best around those types of players or those types of people.
you talked about the opponents this week. Let's start with Nebraska Kearney.
Yep.
Tomorrow night, third-ranked team in the nation, top team in the MIAA. What does Kearney do so well that has them playing good volleyball?
Serve and pass, and then they just attack offensively. I mean, they really do have a good full package. Defensively, they're digging 17 per set. I think Washburn was above them at some point in the season at 19. And so from the standpoint of us being able to compete with Washburn, you know, and Washburn has beat them once, I think that's the tie-in that we like to use a lot is if we play our best, we're going to be right where we need to be with this team, even though they are all of these things. What we can be is more important than really who they are. And so they're a good team. They don't make a lot of errors. You know, they're going to be consistent with what they do. And from our standpoint, it's just about how we're controlling those three controllables and getting after them and bouncing back from, you know, any setback that we have.
Is it too simplistic to say in a match like that it's the team that makes the fewest errors that's going to win that?
It really comes down to when you play a really good team, they don't make errors and they put pressure on you to make the errors. And so from our standpoint, like we, you know, we do make errors, but whenever we get in the flow, that's where we play our best. Whenever we're competing and we're not paying attention to the errors, I just want our players to go out and compete at a high level and let everything just be what it is. Because if we're focusing on that, that's going to be the right area that we need to go right back at them.
And then the matchup against Hayes, an important one because they're right there next to you in the standings when you talk about trying to position for the MIAA postseason tournament. And talk about Hayes. So what do they bring to the table this year?
So they run fast on their outside and right side, which we call the pins. So from antenna to antenna, they're fast. And in the middle, they're running a little bit of a higher offense. So it kind of makes you think as a blocker. They have a really good outside who's a fifth-year senior who can swing really hard and put the ball away. And then they have a middle that, you know, is fairly good from that standpoint. I feel like collectively they're not as good, like, position to position as what Kearney would be as a collective unit. So it's nice that, you know, we can key on a couple of people and put pressure on other people to have to step up and play well that night. But, you know, they're going to get after it from the standpoint of understanding you know, what's at stake from their standpoint. But again, what I like is that one, we don't have to make that trip to Hayes, Kansas, and they're having to make it to Maryville, Missouri. It's the second night that they're playing us, and I just feel like from the standpoint of having an advantage with just those things. And, you know, we've talked to our girls about the opportunity that this is going to present from the standpoint of putting ourselves in a good position if we do get the win. But I just want us to take point by point and, you know, set by set and really continue to focus on the things we can control.
Looking at the program as a whole, the position you're in right now, it feels like another step. At this point in the season, the last couple, two, 3 years, it's can we get into the MIAA tournament, you know, can we get, you know, a little bit higher seed or something like that. But now having an opportunity to potentially play for a home match, things like that, if you go out and perform, do you feel that's a major step with where the program as a whole is?
Yeah, it's something that we've never had a chance to do before, to be able to even say it to the girls and for them to be able to process it, you know, and be able to have that in their brain and have it as a source of something that's going to fuel them, I think is a new step too, because mentally, you know, have to be ready for the next step, and our players are, and they're hungry to go get that. And so I think that's really fun. But when it really comes down to it, like, we have to focus on what we can control and keep the right focus and let everything else be what it is, and do our game plan better than they will.
We're going to talk to one of your seniors here in a few minutes, Jackie Becker. Her and Miranda Foster, how important are they? Now, obviously, this is a new experience for them as well, but still with that senior leadership, how important are they right now?
From a young age, you know, the two of them have been on a different level when it comes to, like, what they want for this program and what drives them. And so this isn't a surprise to me that we're in this position with them leading us. And the two of them have basically since their sophomore year been the two that have been in that class consistently. We haven't added anyone to their class. And they've really complemented each other well. And they're not the same leader. They're very yin and yang because their personalities are different, and yet through that they respect each other. And I think that's one of the coolest things that I have seen young two young females be able to do is they are a lot of the time might be on the end, each end of the spectrum, but they can look at each other and say, I respect, I understand what you're saying, you know, this is my stance and that's your stance, how can we lead together? And I think because they've shown that to our team has gotten better at, you know, understanding, well, we're different, but we still have to work together. And they're just focus of, like, we want this program to be better throughout, you know, their whole entire career. They have said that, but now they're able to really go prove it. And that, to me, is one of the biggest pieces. They are the two best leaders that we've had so far come through since I've been here. Naturally, they are great leaders. It's also just because I've helped them along the way. But it's a lot of what they've done themselves. They have this mutual respect for each other, and they both work their butts off. And that's what you want out of your leaders. You want them to be the hardest workers out there, and they definitely do that every day.
It seems like another important aspect of what those two do is you do see some of the other players on the court taking somewhat of a leadership role at different times, and it seems like those two are fine with stepping back and saying, yeah, absolutely, this has to happen.
Yeah, I mean, they just had, you know, meetings today or this week with all of our classes and just refocusing them and talking about what we need to be peer-to-peer. And that's another good source of a leader. Like, I didn't have to tell them to do those things. They really, when we had our captain's meeting, they wanted to go do that. And the thing that impressed me the most is the first thing they wanted to do is ask every single person on our team, how are you feeling? And to get that feedback and then be able to lead from that, I think is just shows how dynamic they can be as leaders of not just having one thing that they're going to go change. Yes, they had some bullets they wanted to make, but how do you feel? I think when you have that input on a team, you really feel like you're valued. And so you can see that whenever someone else has an idea, they embrace that. And they may not go with it, but they embrace and understand that they're trying to lead. And the other important thing that they're trying to get our juniors to understand is this is the second half of your junior season. This is the time to step up. This is the time for you to understand, like, I'm not very far away from taking the reins of being a leader. And so, like, what I'm impressed with is that development. Because if you don't have people, and you know, AD talks about it a lot, is to have that patience to develop people, that's a great sign of a young leader to be able to do that, you know, at 22 years old, to understand the importance of that. And that's the piece of what people don't truly understand is how has this program changed? It's because our peer leadership has gotten better. And they're on the same page as me, and we're driving this, you know, driving it together. And so hats off to them for wanting to do that, but hats off, like, they're really taking the culture and making it something, you know, and I think that's a big piece of all of this.
All right, Coach. Well, thanks for stopping by, and go get a couple this weekend.
Thank you very much.
That is Amy Wirth, volleyball coach at Northwest Missouri State. Again, Nebraska-Kearney tomorrow night, Fort Hays State on Saturday afternoon, and we're going to talk more volleyball with Jackie Becker when we come back to the Coaches Show here at Carson's in downtown Maryville on KXCV KRNW.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24 hours claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from Shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nelson of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Ford Lincoln on South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the region a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at gotristate.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanware as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, with online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device. Right Bank is right at your fingertips, or at nvb.com, or at any of their 8 locations.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Prairie House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
And we are at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV KRNW, continuing to talk volleyball with senior Jackie Becker. And Jackie, I want to kind of continue on with where we were talking with Coach Worth there a minute ago about leadership. As you were coming into your senior season, obviously you and Miranda, the two seniors on the team, was that a conscious thought for you guys coming in, how you were going to be leaders for this team with a lot of young players on the team?
You know, we've always kind of been a young team. So going into spring, you know, we got done with season last year, and Joe Clinton looked at us and goes, "Welcome in, seniors." And we're like, okay. So, I mean, spring is when we really started taking that senior leadership role on and understanding how me and Murr would lead together. You know, we've always been teammates, and like Coach said, we're yin and yang. We complement each other well, but we're opposites. And we learned how to lead together throughout spring. And by the end of spring, we understood the capabilities this team had, and we took that into summer and worked hard summer. Freshmen came in July, so by the time we actually started season, we didn't feel that young. We felt pretty whole as far as experience. So having everybody here in the summer just propelled us even further forward.
And Coach was talking about how now's the time where, you know, some of the juniors need to realize that they're going to be moving into the role you just talked about. And are you kind of seeing that some of the things you guys are doing are carrying over?
Oh, yeah. We had, like Coach said, we had those meetings with those classes throughout this week. And we told the juniors, we're like, you know, in about a month or so, you know, you guys take over and we're done. And this isn't something you're eased into. It's something that, you know, you're a senior. Time to go. And so, you know, Sarah has always kind of taken on that leadership role, being a 5-1 setter. So she's got that leadership experience of running the offense and making those decisions as a leader. And then, you know, Darcy stepping up in her role of now being on the court. So she's seeing what it takes to be a leader. And then we're also seeing, like, young leadership from, you know, Maddie Bruder and Olivia Nowakowski now being in our libero position. So it's nice seeing that leadership come full circle, and it makes me and Murr feel very comfortable and feel like we've done a pretty good job of leading, seeing them take over leadership abilities that we've instilled.
21-4 record so far. Obviously, it's fun winning, but when you look back at the season so far, what's been kind of the most fun with this season as a whole for you guys?
As a whole, it's just been, you know, the moments we get to spend together. And our team, we have a very lively and fun team that just likes to have a good time and loves the sport of volleyball. And I'd say overall that's been the funnest part of the season, is playing with 14 other girls that live and die volleyball and love it and would rather be in practice and at a game than anywhere else.
Talk about Bearcat Arena this year. Obviously, you guys are playing your last five there, and it seems like it's been a fun atmosphere to play in. Has it been that way for you guys?
Yeah, it's been especially fun this year. You know, when you do well, it attracts attention, and more people show up to our games, and it's such a fun environment to play in, and it really feels like home. Like, we go other places that, you know, don't have as big of a crowd, and it kind of, I don't know, it just feels different. And then we go to places that have big crowds, and it doesn't affect us anymore because we're getting that at home. But then you're home, and you get that special sense of pride and joy of playing in front of the people you know and your family and friends, and playing in front of the community. And along with that comes the community starting to know who you are. I walk through Colden and Garrett Strong and teachers who I've never had look at me, "Hey, Jackie, good job this weekend." And I'm like, "Well, thank you." Like, it's a fun feeling, like being in Bearcat Arena and being in Maryville.
And you've got a big one against Nebraska Kearney, knowing that's at home and that atmosphere you're talking about, everything all put together, playing the number 3 team in the nation. Is the excitement level just a little bit higher going into tomorrow night?
Yeah, you always get really excited going against a good team like that because, you know, you kind of feel like the underdog and you've got something to prove. And it's nice being at home because their gym is also a tough place to play in. They have talked about it, like, a lot of people and a loud community and a loud crowd. It'll be nice to play them at home and show them what Bearcats do and at our games and how our community works. But having them come into our gym, I feel like, gives us a little bit of a leg up because we're used to our gym. We're used to everything that happens in our gym.
All right, Jackie, we'll have fun this weekend.
Thank
and good luck.
Thank you very much.
That is Jackie Becker, one of the seniors for the Bearcat volleyball team. Again, match up tomorrow night against Nebraska Kearney, and then on Saturday afternoon against Fort Hays State. When we come back, we'll turn our attention back to football with the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Dorrell. We'll do it after this timeout. You're listening to the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV KRNW.
Support for today's game comes from SSM Health Medical Group and St. Francis Hospital in Maryville. SSM offers 10 locations and 46 primary care and specialty providers throughout the Bearcat Nation. More at SSMHealthSt.Francis.com.
Today's game is underwritten by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bomley Auto Sales. Bearcat alumnus Joe Bomley has been providing late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to the area since 1983. More at BomleyAuto.com or on the lot at 5 Mile Corner south of Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Rapid Elite in downtown Maryville, providing printing, copying, and other services such as folding, stapling, binding, and laminating, as well as supplying ink and toner. Rapid Elite also provides UPS and FedEx shipping services. More information at 562-4657.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at YoungerAuction.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KR&W Bearcat Coaches Show. We are broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville, and time to turn our attention back to football as we're joined now by the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Dorlin. Adam, coming off, I just couldn't ask for a better day Saturday, homecoming, and a great win over Pittsburgh State last Saturday.
Yeah, thanks, Sean. It was a great crowd, great day. Just everything was perfect. I thought we played really well in all three phases. I was proud of our guys. I thought their focus was really, really good going into that week. And like I told you, I felt really good Thursday after practice looking at our guys in the eye, and I knew they were really locked in. So it was a great week. And again, just the fact that I feel like we took the next step. And not only did we win the game, I thought we improved as a football team. We had a chance to play a lot of guys. But again, just a phenomenal crowd. It was just a really, really great day.
Okay, I want to hear the truth.
Yeah.
We saw probably one of the most memorable plays in Bearcat football history. Before that play, how many of you guys on the sideline were mad that the clock stopped at 1 second and you were going to have to face one more play?
I was very mad. I turned around and looked up at the clock operators. And I hadn't had a chance to see the Edmonds and Dr. Simmons yet. And I think I saw them staring right back at me. And I could just hear those guys. They were probably like, see, that's what happens when you do things the right way. But, I was. I turned around and looked. And I was like, 1 second, really? That was a neat deal. Going back through that, man, we used the timeout, you know, and as a head coach and Coach Wright, we're sitting there talking, like, obviously what you're worried about is the Hail Mary and giving up a cheap touchdown. And listening to our guys talk, walking away, you know, they're the ones that went, hey, remember, if you intercept it, make sure you lateral it. So just great awareness by our guys. And it's funny, we had a scout in today from the Eagles, and he walked into my office, and he goes, man, what an awesome play. He goes, Mike, those guys were able to think about doing that. And I go, I wish I could tell you that was us, but we were worried about giving up the Hail Mary. They were worried about getting a touchdown. So I'm proud of our guys, you know, for being aggressive and thinking about that. But it was a tremendous play.
What about the exposure you get up from a play like that, being on ESPN Sports Center? What does that do to your program?
You know, I don't even know, John. I wish you had somewhere to quantify it. But, like, from a recruiting standpoint, and, again, we've talked about this in the last 10 years, how recruiting's changed nationwide at all levels and for us. And we just recruit in so many more states now because of Huddle. It's so easy to access a kid's video and transcripts, and it's just I don't know. I wish you could quantify it, but man, it's cool. You know, we get tweets from recruits and calls and texts, and you know, guys in Florida and other places that we're recruiting, and immediately, you know, they're blowing you up, and hey, you know, I saw the play on Sports Center, so I know it doesn't hurt by any means.
And I hate to keep harping on it, but one thing about the play that, you know, everybody sees the ball and usually watches the ball, but when you go back and watch the play, you see, for instance, Harold, who scored the touchdown, what he did before he got the football.
Right.
And it's not just him.
Right.
How many guys were downfield throwing blocks to make that possible?
Yeah, and it is. And it's like it's what you want your team to be, a team that plays hard. And no matter the situation, and it would have been really easy for a group of guys to go, well, we're winning by whatever. And, you know, we intercepted the football. Let's get out here at half. But, again, you go back and watch that. Harold, start with Harold. He harassed the quarterback, actually got a hit on the quarterback, stood up, tracked the left tackle or right tackle from Pitt. And, I mean, just got a devastating block on him and then got back up and chased the football again. But you go right down the row, and that was fun for me, was watching it Sunday morning. That was the first time I really dove into the play and watched it. It was cool going back and watching the different guys and the whole sequence leading up to it. But, man, it was just like a car wreck, wasn't it? Berg, I was like, oh, you know, he pitched the ball too late. And then Eddie's was the bad, just throwing it up in the air. And, you know, those guys are so – their football IQ is just – it's tremendous.
I think one thing, though, when you think about it, you talk about the blocking downfield, that they were all legal blocks.
Yeah.
That were – that wasn't a flag on the field at all for that.
It is, John. It's and that's one thing we really try to preach. Those guys, our defensive staff on turnovers, guys, don't get a block in the back. And the way they break it down to our players is remember who's trying to tackle them. You've got five offensive linemen trying to make a tackle, a quarterback that usually doesn't want anything to do with it. So there's six dudes out of the 11 that don't want anything to do with the tackle. You know, we always try to block. Anytime there it's a throw, for example, what you try to do is always try to block the guy that the ball was trying to be thrown to, because he's in the immediate vicinity. You try to get him out of the way. And after that, you really talk about not making illegal blocks. It's like special teams, you know, punt return, kickoff return. The worst thing you can do on that stuff is get clips, because it just kills the field position. So those instances, we try to talk about that stuff, not getting illegal blocks.
I know you guys were confident, obviously, going into that game, but were you a little surprised at the disparity or how wide of a margin it was on Saturday?
Yeah, I was, man. You know, I don't want to take anything away from our kids, because I thought our kids were just had a razor-sharp focus and were ready to go. But it's one of those things, and, I mean, how many times have you heard me say confidence is a very fragile thing in student-athletes? It really is. And I thought the crowd, the atmosphere, I thought was hard for them to play in, and it just was just a domino effect. And I thought we got a couple things up early. They you go back and watch the game, and, again, not taking anything away from our guys, they had an injury, pretty significant injury in the back end, and they shuffled some guys around. Now, I was very proud of our coaching staff and Kyle. You know, I thought we found that weakness in the secondary. They had brought a safety in, and obviously hadn't had much experience on the year. 22 Washington got hurt, and the kid they brought in for him, I know hadn't played a lot this year, and got introduced him to Sean Bain.
In a big way.
Yeah, right.
I think, too, even though their record's down, that was their fourth loss, but you look what they're doing offensively. They've still been scoring a lot of points in games, and you were able to hold them to just one touchdown.
Right, John. I mean, going into that game, our defensive guys, they're locked in every week, and our coaching staff, but they were just really edgy all week. And that's how you need to be against an offense like that, because they have so many receivers that could touch it and go the distance. Great quarterback, offensive line, and just so multiple in their formations and motions. Always doing new stuff each week. A lot of trouble, empty. In our guys, we had to put so much on our guys mentally to get us into the right defense, the right check, the right blitz when we wanted to blitz. So it's just a stressful week when you play an offense like that. It really is.
Does it make it that much more satisfying than to have that success?
It does. It really does. When it's just your body work that week as a football program, and I know our defense would tell you, our defensive staff, very rewarding to watch a group of guys go out and execute a game plan like our guys did, because, again, I don't care what that score was. I know what those guys have been doing leading into that game on offense, and they've been doing a lot of really good things.
Again, we're talking with the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Dorrell. When we come back, we'll look ahead toward the upcoming Saturday matchup in Hays, Kansas with Fort Hays State. It's coming up right after this timeout on the KXCV, KRW Bearcat Coaches Show, broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Ford Lincoln on South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the region a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at gotristate.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store or at pizzaranch.com.
Support for today's game comes from Compass Dental Group in Maryville. Doctors Bruce and Teal Twaddle and Dr. Brian Viertaler provide braces, implants, same-day crowns, and general dentistry. More at 660-582-2273 or at compassdentalgroup.com.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or 582-8800.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, with online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device. Right Bank is right at your fingertips, or at nvb.com, or at any of their 8 locations.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're talking with the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Dorrell. And Adam, back to the road this weekend, a trip out to Hays, Kansas against a Fort Hays State team that plays very well at home.
Yeah, it's going to be a really tough challenge, John. It's, you know, one of those things that we've really tried to talk to our guys about immediately Sunday. And I think the things that really stick out is, number one, you just kind of have to know their coach / coaching staff. I think it's a very good staff. Chris, you know, was a great player at Pittsburgh State, tremendous competitor, very intense individual, and his teams have always played like that since he's taken over there. So factor that in with it's their senior day, and everybody knows what seniors want to do on senior day. They haven't lost a game at home this year, and so we've really tried to place the focus on that, combined with if we win, the worst we can do is share the conference, punch a ticket into the national playoffs. So it's a huge game for us. It's the biggest game we've played all year, obviously. We've really tried to get that across to our guys, and going to be a great atmosphere. They're playing for a ton, a chance to go to a bowl. It's going to be a really good atmosphere. And, you know, we're always trolling the mess or trolling the their media day, and you know their guys are fired up about it. They've talked about that in media all week, and so I'm confident our guys are going to be ready to go, and just we need to go out there and do what we always do and play hard, be really locked in mentally, not turn the football over. Special teams are going to be huge in that game. The wind's supposed to be about 20 miles per hour. There's not much stopping the wind out there. We all know that. So there's going to be a lot of hidden yardage in that football game, and so I don't know. I feel like we've got our guys as focused. We need to go out there and execute.
Their defense, a good defense.
Yeah.
They get to the quarterback.
Yeah.
They get in the backfield. They don't use a lot of blitzes.
No.
But when they do, they're dangerous with them. I know you guys like to study film, find tendencies,
yeah,
so you can kind of see stuff like that coming. Is that a little tougher with a team that doesn't do it often but just does it well when they do it?
Well, the number one thing they do is I almost think they try to lull you to sleep a little bit and then they hit you with it. The thing that, you know, we always watch previous year's games, and one of the things that stood out to us immediately because you kind of forget and you go back and review it from last year. They blitzed us a lot more last year than what they had shown, and obviously we didn't handle the pressure very well, so we're expecting that again, and we've been working on that this week. You know, they're getting pressure. They've got a guy by the name of Saido, number 8. He's got 13 sacks on the year. Number 97, their nose tackle, is a beast. I mean, he's as good a defensive lineman you'll find in this league, and he's just a junior. So between those two generate a lot of pass rush on their own. They're two interior backers. I mean, I put on the film again this year, and I'm like, those two kids are still there? They feel like they've been there like 8 years because they both started playing immediately as freshmen, and now they're seniors. Their back end is good. They've got a really good corner, 21, I think, and then 7, and 21, excuse me, is their free safety, great at supporting the run, and just really salty on defense. They tackle well, fundamentally sound. Don't give up big plays. try to make you earn it. They've done a real good job all year.
Seems like they've done a pretty good job, too, of forcing some turnovers, in particular some interceptions.
Yeah, absolutely. They do a really good job of pressuring the quarterback and getting him to throw the ball up and make bad decisions. They do a really good job of keying the quarterback's eyes, and so if he gets locked in on the guy's side, safeties do a really good job at jumping routes. So do the linebackers, and, you know, they're not afraid to take chances.
What about their offense? What does their offense look like?
You know, to me, I think it starts up front. I think they have five very good offensive linemen that play well together, play hard. Consistency in the group, for the most part, they've been pretty healthy all year, and so they've been together. And then after that, you immediately have to go to the running back. I mean, that kid's special, very well documented. You know, he's going to be in the NFL camp somewhere next year. The thing that I'm seeing this year a little bit more, last year they had the quarterback that could go to. Their quarterback this year is not as good as runners last year, throws the ball probably better. They're throwing a ton of passes to that back out of the backfield. They also have that kid some help, so it's a kind of a two-headed monster at tailback this year, and both the kids can catch it out of the backfield. And then, you know, our receivers do a phenomenal job of blocking, and I think they do as good a job as anybody in the league. So does Fort Hays State. Their guys on the perimeter, their receivers do a great job of blocking. They're very tough-minded kids, so... just a challenge. I think the thing with us is you got to try to limit the running back's yards. I mean, you're not going to stop kid, but just really try to limit his big plays. Don't get mismatched on him in third and medium, third and short situations like that, red zone. So we're going to try to do some stuff with our packages so we get good people on him. And, you know, bottom line, we got to stop the run and try to get them in an obvious passing situation, just like every week.
I know you talked about this earlier this week, but also important to note, again, that there's a lot really riding on this ballgame for your team. There's some things that you can mark off as far as your goal sheet.
Absolutely, John. It's just, you know, to be going into Week 10, it's like I told our guys Tuesday, to be going into Week 10, you walk in the locker room and our goal board's in there and it's huge, you know. But I just challenged them to read that thing, and there's – you know, how many teams are playing in Week 10 that can say they have all this still in front of them potentially? They still have a chance to do this stuff, and it's exciting. You know, it's exciting to us as coaches. It's exciting to our kids. We're going to have to go out there and fight our tails off. We're going to have to fight for 3 hours, and we're going to have to improvise, adapt, overcome, play good team football, chance to get the minimum to share a conference championship and punch a ticket into the national playoffs. I mean, it's just been a lot of blood, sweat, and tears poured into this year. And so it's a big game, man. Our guys can do a lot with the win Saturday.
Probably makes it feel like it's gone by a little quicker when you still have a lot to play for.
Yeah. I've been on the other end of that. You know, coaching is such a rewarding deal, and you can't put everything on winning and losing football games. You can't do that as a coach because there's so much more to that, especially in our program. But, you know, unfortunately, I've been in other programs where you're not having the type of year you want. It's just like life, man. When you're having a great year and things are going the way you are, it goes so fast, and you try to grab onto it as much as you can. But on the other end of that, boy, when you're having a bad year, it just you're looking at your watch and you're like, it's still September, you know. So anyway, we're excited, and I'm proud of our kids for putting themselves in this position. I really am. And if you look at the schedule and you go way back to January when we start talking about this stuff, it's really, really exciting and rewarding to have a chance to do a lot of great things Saturday.
Well, one final thing before we let you go, going back to the play there at the end of the half.
Yeah.
I think probably the only player that's really a little disappointed about that was Simon Matisse.
Yeah.
He's perfect on PAT.
Yeah, right. it's one of those deals you try to do it in a real positive way, but that was – we always – Sunday when we get together with our team, we hand out awards, you know, top tackles on the week, stuff like that, top special teams play, and just to let the whole team recognize some individual effort, and we show it on film. But what I always do Sunday, I always start off, it doesn't have to be our game, it could be an NFL Thursday night game, a college game, something I saw that night that's a learning experience, like, oh, look what these boneheads did, and it cost them a football game. And that was one of the things we could bring back to us. I mean, what if that was at the end of the game and we needed that PAT to tie it up? And so it's something hopefully your team will learn from.
All right. Well, AD, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
That's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football team, Adam Doral. Stay tuned. We'll be back and wrap things up right after this timeout from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at youngerauction.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Maryville Glass and Lock, offering automatic entrances, electronic security systems, as well as service and repair locking, hinging, and closer hardware. More at 582-3131 or in store at 5th and Buchanan or at MarylandGlassAndLock.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24 hours claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More info is available from Shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nelson of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from SSM Health, St. Francis Hospital, Orthopedic and Sports Medicine Services, offering services from athletic training to physical therapy to total joint replacement. More at SSMHealthSt.Francis.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. Find more at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. As we wrap things up for our program this evening, don't forget, out at Bearcat Arena tonight at 8 o'clock, it's the Basketball Bash, an opportunity to go out and take a look at the Bearcat men's and women's basketball teams before their season gets underway. Tomorrow night, Northwest Volleyball, a big match at Bearcat Arena, as they will face Nebraska Kearney in a 7 o'clock start. Then on Saturday, Bearcat football from Hayes, Kansas, Northwest, and Fort Hays State will have the broadcast beginning at 1 o'clock before the 2 o'clock kickoff. Again, the Bearcats and Tigers from Hayes, Kansas. Thanks to everyone involved with us here at Carson Sports Grill. We'll be back again next Thursday with another show on KXCV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe. And that'll do it for this week's show from the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. I'm John Coffey, and so long till Thursday.
On the next morning edition, we ask how the